Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola, Thursdays at 8:40.
And it is 8:40 on a Thursday. Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren. It's been long.
It's been a while. And thank you so much for not saying Happy New Year, because as we know, 15th of Jan is the cutoff date.
No.
Thank you.
No. I've been telling everyone good luck for 2021.
That's a good way to go. That's a good way to go. All right. So, Consumer Watch, the first question, of course, is what is up with the price of ginger?
Yes, and you wouldn't be the only one asking that question. It's all over Twitter. And I actually had a little competition yesterday inviting people to tell me the price that they were seeing. So yeah. I started off at 410 rand 26 a kilo for garlic, which was at the Underberg Spa. I thought, well, that was pretty crazy. The consumer who sent that to me said, gosh, it's nearly twice the price of fillet steak, ribeye, biltong, and all the rest. That was Peter Jarvis. Thank you for that, Peter. And put that on Twitter. And then came $462.99 at a Spa Belairs in Randburg. Yeah. And then current winner is 499. So let's call it 500 rand a kilo at Pick and Pay's Paro branch. Doreen Morris, the TV personality, sent me a picture of that last night.
Yeah.
500 rand a kilo.
And this is just so raw ginger. It's not even sliced and placed on top of sushi
ginger
or something.
No. But the thing is, people want, that's the ginger people want, because it's believed to be immune boosting. Mm-hmm. And so people are having it, you know, in teas and whatever, cooking it in their food, anything to boost your immunity and increase your chances of not getting the coronavirus. So that's that. And that's happening all over the world, right? So in this country, things are sort of okay with the ginger until the end of December. And then suddenly, I mean, Mr. Jarvis told me that he bought that same ginger from the same, ginger from the same store for around 90 Rand on the 16th of December, 90 Rand 85 cents. And yesterday it's 410.26. So you can, I mean, that's less than a quarter just a month ago.
Yeah.
So the stories really happened this month. And a lot of people are saying, you know, the supermarkets are ripping us off, profiteering, whatever. But of course, there's a whole supply chain story that sits behind the product on the shelf. So the manager of the Underberg Spa, Kathy Knox, sent me all her documentation of, you know, what they paid. They're putting a normal profit margin on that they always do. What's happened is that it's coming from the supplier and their supplier and their supplier.
Exactly.
Back. Much, much more expensive. There is also the issue of supply and demand. So anytime that happens, where demand outstrips supply, you're going to get huge price hikes. And we've had two ginger crop failures in China, the main producer, 2019, 2020. They've had production issues because of COVID. The good news is that our local market, the local ginger market, the crop's being harvested next month and will be in store in March.
Nice.
So, you know, a lot of people are saying, I'm going to grow my own, and sending me photos of their little ginger shoots. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's sort of 8 to 10 month process. So but from March, things should ease a bit. But I mean, wow. 500 rand a kilo for ginger.
Can we do this on a public platform and just do a shout out to our local suppliers? I know there's a supply and demand issue, and I'm not telling you to be completely anti-capitalist, but could you just be reasonable with your prices? Because ginger has been proven to be great for your immune system, and if there is something that can help anyone right now, we're very, very thankful for it. So try not to pull the ring out of it. You know what I mean? Yes, can we make that?
I just should say on that note that, sorry, can I jump in?
Yes.
Food Lovers Market says that they were selling theirs at around 250, 270 a kilo, depending on the store. They said they actually reduced their profit margin on garlic, so they're not profiteering on it. And I think that might be a nice idea for other retailers to also consider just lowering, given what the price is, just lowering their profit margin on that particular item. Until our local crop comes in.
Good advice, and Wendy will be watching. It's 9 minutes before we get to nine this Thursday morning with Darren, Kerry and Sky right here on East Coast Radio. And we're continuing with Wendy Nola. Wendy, lady.
Yes, Darren.
Now, we now know supply and demand issues, ginger great for the immune system. It's an explanation for why you might see it selling for 500 rand per kilo. But we do have our local suppliers who will be supplying to our local retailers soon. And hopefully they'll do the right thing, keep those prices down for us because it is good for the immune system. That's one of the problems. Here's another problem, a consumer problem. Landlords, although we are in a state of emergency, and they can't, you know, we've been told that not to make evictions and certainly not to cut off people's water and lights. But where do we stand as tenants?
Okay, so I think it was December the 28th. Remember when the new curfew came in, the alcohol ban and all that? Mm. In that lot of new regulations, there was some relief on paper anyway for tenants. So that regulation made certain practices unfair, and among them, evictions can still take place, can take place now on adjusted level 3, by the way, as long as they're done legally and it's a court order and all that. You can't just force someone out without the legal paperwork. But one of the things that caught my eye, and I wrote a story about it, was that a landlord, even if you're behind in your rent, you can't cut off your water or electricity, unless you failed. They have to provide reasonable notice and an opportunity for the tenant to make representations, blah 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 blah. But actually, what I've discovered, thanks to a case that was brought to my attention last week, is that a tenant is actually pretty helpless if a landlord restricts or cuts off the electricity or water. Right. So a woman I'll call Cindy, she rents this house on the bluff with her partner and two small children. Mm-hmm. She admits she was retrenched, she fell behind in her rent, and they owe 3 months, right? And she's admitted that she owes it and will pay it back. They've got a new place to go to at the end of the month, but in the meantime, they were being harassed to move out and the electricity is cut off. The landlord wanted 7,000 rand to put the electricity back on, and she didn't have it. So they had this meter with a tiny bit on it, and then literally when she wrote to me, she had one plug charging the cell phone, but literally that was it. Couldn't make food, cold baths, etc. She said, "I'm sitting a week without power and nobody can help. Please help. I'm desperate." Mm. So I phoned around and approached Robin Topping, who is an associate attorney with Durban law firm Thorpe and Hands. And he agreed to represent Cindy pro bono. So huge thanks to him and his firm. He mediated between her and the landlord. He said all it needed was, you know, for them to sit and talk rationally. And he provided that platform. They've come to a settlement around the arrears rental, and they will be leaving at the end of the month. And now the electricity is back on. So that's the good news. But the upshot, Darren, is that tenants actually have no practical means to stop a landlord cutting off the electricity. Even though, you know, if your locks are changed, the landlord changes your locks, you have got recourse, you can go to the housing tribunal, etc. But not with the electricity issue, which is weird because it's in the regulation, right? Yeah. But practically, no. And that, as Robin explained, is that there's this ruling, and it was handed down, Eskom Holdings versus Masinda, that has changed the whole landscape, he says, because that judgment prioritizes contractual rights. And in short, if a landlord has cancelled the lease and given a tenant breach notice, which happened in Cindy's case, there's not much they can do that the tenant can do if the landlord cuts the electricity. So essentially, putting it out there, that part of the regulations, the Disaster Management Act regulations around tenants and landlords, doesn't actually, it's hollow protection. As with so much law, when it comes to trying to assert your rights, you know, in respect of it. I'm just very grateful to Robin Topping of Thorpe and Hands that, you know, that particular case has been sorted out amicably, and that family now has electricity until they leave at the end of the month. But yeah, it was quite a shocking revelation for me, actually, that with Cindy saying, "I've been here, I've been everywhere, I've been to the law clinic, I've been to the rental housing tribunal, nobody can help me." So I think little disappointing.
Yeah, the big lesson learned here is try not to lose your temper, have conversations with each other. It is unprecedented times. Landlords want to make money, tenants don't want to become homeless. It is unprecedented. And so long as you're having an open, civil conversation, we should be able to find a solution. No one wants to lawyer up and go to courts.
Absolutely. And who has the money for it either?
And no, don't have the money for that as well. All right. So there you go. Tenants and landlords, price of ginger, all of that with Consumer Watch will be available on our website after the show, ecr.co.za. Click on Darren, Kerry and Sky. Thank you, Wendy.
Darren, Kerry and Sky.